Support for Here and Now comes from BetterHelp, committed to supporting mental health through therapy. Clients are matched with one of 25,000 therapists and can communicate via video, chat, or phone at betterhelp.com/public.
The shooting last night at a black church in Charleston, South Carolina, comes during a national conversation on race. It's about Rachel Dolezal, the former head of the NAACP in Spokane, Washington. You'll remember her parents revealed she was actually white with four adopted black siblings. Then NBC had the first exclusive interviews with her. And then further reports in the Washington Post and BuzzFeed about legal questions splitting the family, accusations that Dolezal's biological brother molested one of those adopted siblings. So, how has the media delivered this story to us? NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans has written the book on media and race. It's called Race Baiter. He has some thoughts. Eric, welcome.
How you doing?
I'm good, and yet I also am perplexed about this headline. In fact, we posed the question the other day when we covered this story. What is this story really about? We've heard a lot of interviews. Do you think we know more than we did before about what this story is about?
If you've sat through all these interviews, and if you have, God bless you, because I did it and I get paid for it. But if you actually sat through all these interviews, what you saw was that Rachel Dolezal is somebody who has some very specific issues in her life. She's been, let's say, less than truthful about a lot of aspects of her life, including who her biological father is and what her family roots are and other things in her life. So there's that. And then you also have this idea that we're at a time when racial identity is more fluid perhaps than it's ever been. And so just as we're sort of struggling with this idea of what is race, along comes this person who's been pretending to be another race in a way that is unsettling. And so I think her story has been conflated to become this other story, and we've lost sight of getting to the bottom of both of them. Listen, we have a clip here of her talking a little bit about her views on race and her own race, and you can get a sense of the kind of answers that she was giving to NBC. So why don't we check out this clip?
If you're black or white, I'm black. I'm more black than I am white. So on a level of values, lived experience currently, I mean, just in this moment, that's the answer. That's the accurate answer from my truth.
That she is more black than white.
If I was interviewing her, what I would have said was, what does that mean? What does it mean that you're black? What does that mean? These interviews have not really talked about sort of the core question, which is, what is race? What is racial identity? And at the core of this issue is the idea that race is really a social phenomenon. It's a social construct. It's something that we as a society have decided has meaning. We have decided that because you look a certain way, that gives you some clues about a person's family history or their cultural heritage. For example, we say African-American. What we're trying to say is descendants of African slaves who were brought here and then sort of evolved into a certain population in this country. Also embedded in this is the sense that we have seen white people try to appropriate and take over parts of the black experience for their own goals for centuries.
Like the music and the culture.
Right. We've seen music that's been born in black culture sort of be taken over by white culture. We've seen, well, even now, we see white pundits try to say that they're the modern voice of Martin Luther King, or they're the modern voice of the civil rights movement. You know, Glenn Beck, for example, is known for doing that. But again, people who have talked about this issue have not really talked about the most important part of it, which is, what is racial identity and how is it formed? And that's a separate and an interesting question, far apart from the question of what was Rachel Dolezal doing and why has she told so many untruths about her her own personal story, and why didn't these interviews try harder to pin her down on some of those untruths?
Or some of the claims. I still would love to know what she feels when she said, with my values, that makes me black. And I just want to know what she means by values. But meanwhile, talk more about the media coverage, because you noted that one of the first clips you got from NBC was this one. This is from NBC Black, BLK. Again, it's the new NBC website. And here's one of the first clips NBC sent you, Eric Deggans, her being asked about her hair.
This is a weave, and I do it myself. And
yeah, because you do hair.
Yeah.
Your thoughts?
Well, first of all, I was flabbergasted that NBC has a website that's devoted to black issues, and the first clip they send out from their interview with this woman at the center of this huge controversy is asking her how she does her hair. And I just sort of said to myself, that is not the foot that you want to start out on, even if the interview goes to more substantive places. Beyond that, it speaks to a larger issue that I have with how NBC has conducted all these interviews. Generally, as a journalist, if you're interviewing somebody that you suspect has not been truthful, then you adopt a more prosecutorial approach towards interviewing them. You make sure you have a lot of documents and data, and you challenge what they're saying because you're trying to find out whether these allegations of untruths have any basis in fact. And unfortunately, I think what happened was these interviews were too friendly. They were interviews in which they accepted much of what she said without challenging it. They would bring up contradictions, and then she would give an explanation that didn't make much sense, and then they would just move on. And so beyond not even getting to the heart of the issue of race, you know, when she says, I'm black, what does that mean? They didn't really pin her down, involving a lot of controversies in her life where people in her family, people close to her, have said that she's not told the truth about her own personal story.
Let's talk a little bit about that second narrative, which is about her family, which is when you start to think, oh, boy, I wonder if this is turning into sort of one of those tabloid reality shows where we're suddenly looking at a family's issues. Her parents are white. They were the first to point out that she is white. She has several adopted black brothers, one of whom, Ezra, told CNN this is not an identity issue.
I think it's an integrity issue. I think that's what it definitely is, because of the fact of how she will change her story, the fact that she's told so many statements that are not true within the past week. I think it is an integrity issue with her.
So this is where it starts to feel like this is a sad, you know, kind of almost a maybe now turning into a reality show about a family's problems as opposed to a culture's problems. I don't know. Your thoughts on the family?
Well, that's also where I think some of this journalism has fallen down, because this family is going through something very specific and very contentious. So you have the parents who initially sparked the story by coming forward and saying Rachel Dolezal had not been truthful about her family heritage. Now it comes to light that her biological brother, he self-identifies as white, has been accused of molesting one of the African-American siblings. Mm-hmm. And the parents are saying that Rachel Dolezal is helping her adopted sister advance this charge against her brother, which they say is not true. And apparently the litigation surrounding this is reaching a crucial point. And so there's a whole drama between family members that seems to have led to some of this. At the very least, journalists have an obligation to get to the bottom of that. And I think what's happened there seems to be very specific to that family. And so to try and take what she's done and then expand that to, hey, this relates to how we all talk about race, I think that's very dangerous.
So, having said that, how does this whole story dovetail with the points you wanted to make in your book about media and race, Race Baiter?
Media has a hard time talking about race, sometimes because it's not as diverse as the population that it's serving, and sometimes because the people in control of the conversations don't really understand the subjects that they're trying to discuss. I think in this case, with the NBC interviews, for example, there seemed to be a sense that because they had so much access to her, they didn't go after her as diligently as you might have expected. Beyond that, there's a sense that, you know, race is a touchy issue, and it's a complex issue. I think it's a difficult subject for television in particular to handle, because television is focused on emotion and often focused on conflict. And trying to have a discussion like this about racial identity, one of the things that's most important is it has to be free from conflict. People on both sides have to be willing to meet each other in the middle, try to understand the other side a little bit, and reach a consensus. I understand how white people feel about the story. White people understand how black people feel about this story.
That's NPR's TV critic Eric Deggans. His 2012 book is called Race Baiter. It's about how media covers race. Eric, thanks for weighing in on this most recent headline.
Thanks for having me.